Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right. Our Friday assignment was, what do you value about your body? Record and listen. On Saturday, what do you dislike most about it? Record and listen. And Sunday, what do you like most about it? Record and listen.
Body weekend.
It's a body weekend. All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
How are y'all doing?
Good, you?
Good, good. I wasn't even sure that we would have the show today, being Memorial Day, so I'm very grateful to get on. And so, conditioning doesn't want me to tell y'all this, but I am terribly behind on my assignments.
No.
Yes. Yes. since this is how you do anything is how you do everything, I had to look at this process of how it ended up I got a week behind on a retreat that I love and I get so much out of and had such energy and enthusiasm. And it's not just the retreat. I have a number of unfinished projects, unfinished objects, UFOs, if you call them, where I have a lot of energy and intention, and for some reason I go, it's not even unconscious, I go to sleep. And this is kind of a literal thing. I get this story of being tired and end up sleeping more and neglecting commitments and stop taking care of myself. And there's like sleeping dust. And then all of a sudden I wake up and like, wait a minute. This isn't what I was committed to doing. And so it is not just the retreat, but it is also a number of things that I find caught in this conditioned process.
And so what you're saying is, I'm checking this out, is this true, that even though you might actually be tired, the tired that you're talking about, you're suspecting is more conditioning than anything physical.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It is a common technique of conditioning, and I've recorded about this. In fact, it starts at 12 noon. I can be working and at work, and my plan is, okay, I'm going to come home, I'm going to eat, I'm going to feed the dog, I'm going to walk and do my evening meditation and that type of thing. And there's a story that starts right with the afternoon office. You're too tired to do this. Oh, it looks like it's going to rain. Oh, you didn't sleep well last night. Oh, you know, work is so hard and you're drained and this is stressful. And it just starts in. And so by the time I actually physically get home, there's a story of being tired.
And it sounds like you're actually being worn out by that conversation. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's like, oh, let's take a nap. You don't want to walk because you're really tired. There's a 3-day weekend and you're really tired and you can rest. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, I've been sleeping well.
How about if I enjoy?
And you know, I'm going to walk. I'm going to do this. But and so there are projects and other things that I want to do or get done that I don't get done because of this story of being tired that I believe. And sometimes I am tired physically. Sometimes, you know, I work or whatever, I'm tired. But there's also a story of putting me to sleep so that I don't do the commitments, and particularly if it is something that is beneficial to me, something that I love that is against conditioning. Oh, my gosh. I mean,
when you were saying it, Rochelle, It had a hypnotic flavor, right? Oh,
yeah.
You're so tired. Oh, that's, oh, it's going to rain. Oh, it's like, I could feel myself getting talked into that reality, right?
Exactly.
It's almost soothing.
It is. Oh, it is.
Oh. And kind of a comforting for poor baby. Oh, here, let me take care of you. Just go to sleep. It'll be all right.
And it sounds like it's your friend. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, just cuddle up and just, you know, take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be
mm-hmm.
okay. And if it's not my friend, and all of a sudden you wake up and it's like, wait a minute. I'm not taking care of myself. I'm not doing what I committed
mm-hmm.
to do. And how did it
mm-hmm.
happen that I'm sleeping and all of a sudden I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do that I enjoy?
Yeah. And I don't know that this is true, but I mean, you may have statistics on this, but somebody told me or I read that you can't actually make up sleep. You know, that if you haven't been sleeping, in a very short time, you know, a night, two nights, your body has actually kind of taken in all the sleep it can take in, and that it's a story that if I'm really tired, then I have to sleep all the time for whatever period of time, because the body doesn't need that. And what you're pointing out is the system that does need that, that really does need for us to go to sleep and leave it alone to rejuvenate, and that would be ego.
Well, and what's hilarious about this is that when, for part of my work and profession, almost every fourth night I was on call and up 24 hours and sometimes 36 hours and that type of thing. And so a good part of my adult professional life, I was chronically tired.
Mm-hmm.
Literally tired.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't a story. I was always sleep deprived
mm-hmm.
to some degree and never felt rested and have all kinds of, and people, and it's very well documented, people who work swing shifts and things like that have sleep disorders and poor sleep habits and everything. And so
mm-hmm.
most of my adult life has been that way and gotten worse as I got older. But I stopped that, you know, pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
this, right now it's not that I'm not getting enough sleep,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I even track it. You know, it's not that I'm sleep deprived. It's a story.
Yeah.
Stop me. And
that's good to see, isn't it?
It's good to see.
It
and
is.
It's one that I'm susceptible
mm-hmm.
to because of what happens in the past and with work. But I've personally stopped that consciously, directly stopped that so that I could be more present because
mm-hmm.
it's hard to practice chronically sleep deprived. It's
right, exactly. Well,
yeah.
The other thing that that I think is really important to note about what you were saying and the tone of it is they're all you voices.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, adds to that hypnotic feel. You're tired. You need to rest. You don't feel like walking.
So.
Yeah. Well, you're on to it now, so good. Now you're awake, huh? Now you're going to watch for the hypnotist to creep back into your life.
Exactly.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of this weekend, huh?
Yes. Well, thank you
taking
very much.
Taking care of yourself.
Yes, taking care of myself. I've already walked. I've already meditated, and I'm going again this afternoon, but I've got to get moving. I'm tired of being put to sleep and not.
Right. tired. All right. Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, S. Winnie, and thank you very much, Sherry.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Go happy.
Go happy. Go happy.
Thanks, Rochelle. You know, Sherry, I was just looking at how we talk about conditioning as the giant energy management process.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a way in which the identity gets crystallized by that conversation moving the energy into the identity so that it's not available.
Yes.
It's literally not available to me.
That's what that hypnotic process
mm-hmm.
is, you mean. It literally
yes.
is
yes.
talking us into. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Into
and
that
I was looking at it that we get conditioned to believe that our life is about, you know, meeting expectations, performing in certain ways, that the life force becomes directed to the burden of obligation, duty, conformity, responsibility, rather than being available to just be present and enjoy the life that is. And we can watch it in our lives. That after a long day at work, there isn't the ability to have that life force because the energy has been used to meet the conditioned set of made up or real expectations.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So what you're saying is we live in that conditioned program, and that's where the life force is going. And then when the life force, I mean, it could be available to us all the time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're identified with conditioning in that way, then the life force goes to conditioning. And then when those obligations are over and there is time for me, then I'm too tired.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it controls us all day long. And then when we could come back to ourselves, it just basically puts us to sleep so
mm-hmm.
that it can rest
yeah.
up to control us again the next day.
Yeah, I think you were telling me about the Thich Nhat Hanh story, where everything in our lives can be for us if the
yeah.
life force is used in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's used to meet that conditioned set of, if we're operating from meeting conditioning standards all the time and that conditioned sense of obligation, we're not using the life force for us. It's being used
yeah.
to maintain conditioning. I mean, that's what we talk about all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm basically pushed out of my own life because
yes.
the work I do isn't for me and what I do for my family isn't for me and there's only this small something that's called for me, and I don't
yeah.
get to have that because I'm too tired. I don't feel like it's raining. It's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a lot to look at.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. Aloha. This is Laura.
Aloha, Laura.
Hi. I'm being told that I am behind, and so, of course, have nothing to say and for sure should not be in the queue.
mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because my commitment when this program started was to be in the queue every day no matter what. And whenever I
mm-hmm.
have been available, I have been in the queue no matter what, and it's such a wonderful workshop to just keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back.
And the interesting part of this is, first of all, of course, if you're behind, you should be left by the wayside, right?
Yes.
So you're just shunned like those people who do that. And yet, I bet any one of us at any point could say what I hear I like about my body, what I dislike about my body, what's wrong with it, what's good, you know, all of those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things would never be a problem. It's not like I have to be current with anything to know about that. Is that true for you?
Right. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what I was seeing when I was looking at these questions as a package was when I am in center, there's nothing wrong. There's absolutely
mm-hmm.
nothing wrong. And it's only when conditioning comes in, yammering away, that I move into a duality of, well, I like this and I don't like that, and this is working and this isn't, and, you know, that
mm-hmm.
kind of nitpicking detail.
By somebody, in quotes, who doesn't have a body.
Yes.
Right?
The theoretical expert.
Yes, exactly, who doesn't have to worry about nutrition or exercise or health or anything else, can just critique. It's like, you know, I don't know if there are any critics in the listening in today, but I have a very little respect for critics of any kind because, so somebody writes a play and somebody devotes themselves to presenting that play and acting in that play. It's a huge amount of work and effort that goes into that. And then somebody sits in the front row with a notebook and picks mm-hmm. apart everything about it. It is so awful. And yeah. And I think the only reason that we allow such a thing is because that person so mimics conditioned mind.
That so makes sense to me.
Yeah, so there's a deep belief that critic has information that we should somehow take on, that they know more than we do. So here we are, the person inside the body, with the body, living through the body, and yet that voice knows more about how that should be than we do.
And because it's spoken with an artificial voice of authority, we get sucked in and believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sounds like every other external authority that we've ever been traumatized by.
Good point.
Yeah?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
That's so big. That is big,
like
isn't it?
Yeah, this rippling pattern that just goes through everything.
Yeah, somebody knows more about me than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I think the reason we fall for that is we're not here.
Uh-huh.
So if I don't really live in my body, with my body, have my body as the authority about the body's experience, then, and I'm used to listening to a voice, well, I don't know. I guess it's right.
Right. It opens the door to all the, you know, the external voices that come in and tell us what we need to do and to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And I don't know. You know, and of course, we really admire the I don't know perspective in life, but it's a different I don't know. You know, and of course, we see it a lot, or I see it a lot anyway, with people who accept external authorities, who know, especially about bodies, who know more about their bodies and what they should be doing, and get into all kinds of really bad places because that person says, well, you should take this, you should do this, you should, and they accept it, and then there are bad results because that expert doesn't actually know about their life, their being, their body.
So we get talked into abdicating responsibility and then get beat up for abdicating responsibility and have often not very good consequences for that.
Exactly. Yes, and so that's a really good point. So I go along with that, you know, because that's what I'm trained to do. Somebody knows. Tell me what to do. I'll do that. And then when it goes poorly, which it often does, it will eventually, at any rate, then I'm beaten up for having done what I've been told all my life I should do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's very ugly, isn't it?
It's really cruel.
It's cruel. That's actually a better word. Yeah, it's cruel. Mm-hmm. All right, well,
okay,
I hope
you
and your body... Have a lovely rest of this weekend.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Laura.
Oh, I love that process you pointed to, Sherry, that we are so checked out. We're talked into not being present, and therefore we actually don't have direct experience that guides us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're much more liable to fall for the voice of the fantasy of authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we're programmed for, that we don't realize that the reason we don't know and cannot steward what we have and what we can do by direct experience is because we're not present enough to know that.
Yeah. And in fact, we are talked into being afraid of direct experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. This is Lori calling from Asheville.
Hey, Lori.
Hi. Gosh, I'm so happy to be here and to be talking. You know, this is hearing people kind of getting behind, and I'm like, yeah, I was talking with somebody this morning about commitments and then just about, for her, keeping commitments. And then I'm remembering all the commitments to practice that I have and to return to the commitment. Just, you know, right now, come back here to commitment.
Mm-hmm.
See where I am, and, oh, okay, I can return. There's such a gentleness about that invitation that says, okay, nothing wrong. It's just remembering what is wanted here and where does the attention want to go. So that's some of what I'm looking at. And I'm also just so grateful for my body. There's something that happened yesterday where I went to a dance in the morning, and there was so much discomfort and pain in the body, and I just, first of all, was thinking, oh, I can't do this. I don't like having pain. And then what got clear was, well, maybe I need to leave. So I left and then went for two really long walks, and my body felt great. And it's kind of like just paying attention to what is it that is more accessible or something in my body right now, and what are the conditions that help that. It's like, how can I tune in and do the thing that seems the most kind? I mean, really kind and also pleasurable.
Yes, yes. A couple of things about that, Lori, that strike me. One is that ability to listen to the body and recognize dancing this morning, no, but that doesn't mean go home and lie on the couch.
Yep.
And that's where ego gets a lot of folks, right? And then the conclusion, well, that's probably behind me now. That's just not something that I can do, right? Rather than, it's today. Today, that was, and it could have been anything. Dance means music, means other people, means, it could be any of those things that the being, if we talk about the incarnation, is just not in tune with today. So what does she, what would take care of right now?
Yeah.
Not forever.
Right.
Yeah.
And, and what you're saying, and then the experience in the body, because I was, really kind of tuning into it, and then when I was walking at the end of the second long walk, I noticed that one of my feet was a little uncomfortable, and yet the rest of the body was like really feeling happy, happy to be outside, happy to be with my friend, happy to be with my dog, just exactly the matching circumstances that really felt nurturing and fun and more ease in the body. It just seems to be such a great and important practice of that, like tuning into what would feel really good or what would be available even in this body that I care so much about. And
maybe you soak your feet when you get home or get a little foot massage or all kinds of things. But again, the voices would want to say, so, those kinds of long walks, I think it's just really too much for you. And so we can see that if not being tuned in, you've just lost dancing and long walks in one day.
Yeah. And the other one is gardening, because I'm having pain in one of my hands, my right hand, my dominant hand. And gardening is like another one of those things that I love so much to do. And it's just, it's all over my yard. It's like, oh, there's so much to do. And, but again, it's kind of like having to pace in ways that I haven't before. And sometimes tuning in and sometimes doing the bypass of that, which then has consequences. You know, well, I could do, 10 more minutes or, one more hour or whatever. And then realizing there was a point at which it was time to say rest or whatever. But it's all, mm-hmm. it just changes moment to moment.
And that's right. Because tomorrow it may be completely different. The things that I saw when you said that is, wow, what a great opportunity to learn to be left-handed.
why not? Great, Sherry, I love that invitation.
Yeah, I mean, that's a talk about a mindfulness exercise. And the other one is, so what's going on with my hand? You know, let's explore that. And what does that hand need? And maybe it needs some, I don't know, massage strengthening and all kinds of things that it might need, rather than what conditioning is going to make it mean, which is, okay, well, gardening too. This could have been a big weekend for you.
it is. It's a big weekend. And the last thing about it is that I'm doing many of those things, as far as my hand, and realizing that doesn't mean, because I'm doing all the, quote, right things, that's going to come out to have the right conclusion and the right outcome.
That's right.
And so
that's
it's right. Like, do what's to be done, and then just be with what is.
Be with what is. Yeah. So I'm going to throw in another story that you probably heard me tell, but I've known you for actually a lot of decades at this point, so I can speak to the getting a little older process. So there was a fellow who loved tennis. Tennis was his life. And he got to a certain age, and he developed arthritis or whatever it was in his ankles. And playing tennis became really, really painful. And so he quit. And a couple of years later, it dropped in for him one day that his ankles hurt just as much as they did when he was playing tennis. So he started playing tennis again.
All right.
Our assignment as we go forward. Yeah, truly. Let's look at what we love and do that.
And look at what I love, and even if there's pain, here I am, because I'm in a body, and the body's not young. Exactly. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lori. Oh, what a lovely conversation, Sherry. And what a lovely way to end the show and be with our bodies, be in our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, our assignment today is draw a picture of your emotions. Record and listen.
Oh. Uh-huh. Draw a picture of your emotions. All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.